Osiris.
Hey everyone, it's Cam Hurt, host of the Best Show Ever podcast, and we have got a second season coming out very soon that I am very excited about. We've got some very cool special guests, including musical acts that we all love, like Karina Reichman, Daniel Donato, Jake Brownstein from Eggy, Rick and Peter from Goose, and many more. Tune in for new episodes dropping on Osiris Media March 5th on the Best Show Ever podcast.
All right, here we go.
All right.
Recording. I'm Philip, and this is Clemens. We are a band. Our band is called Milky Chance. We are based in Berlin. We are from Germany. We are on tour currently in the US and Canada for 3 months. It's the biggest tour we are playing so far. We're a band for 10 years and we do music because it's generally what we love. We like to share that.
I thought I've been walking on the moon. Well, not every dream comes true. Feels like my world is breaking down. But what if you save me now? Call me back, no matter where you are. 'Cause when I hear your voice talk to me, I fall in love with your frequency.
All right. Thanks for tuning your frequency into the show on the road, my podcast where I get to talk to songwriters and artists from all around the world. I'm still Z Lupitin, and we get to talk to Milky Chance. They're a group from Germany that I have been kind of obsessed with for a long time. I never dreamed that I would have been able to talk to these guys, but here we are. I got to dial into their tour bus, and I just came back from my own European tour. I'm a little half-crazed from what went on there. We had planes canceled in Germany, hotels canceled in England, but we made it through. And these guys are on an epic run. I'm going to let them talk to you about it right now before we get going. 3 months, and that's got to be definitely an epic challenge. Do you guys ever bring the kids along or have them come visit? How does that work?
We normally don't go on tour for 3 months. This is like the second time in 10 years. We normally, since we have kids, go on, you know, not longer than 2 or 3 weeks. So yeah, this time we got to bring them. We have another bus. We're going to make a little kindergarten since we have 7 of them.
Wow.
It's going to be fun.
It's been busy.
I mean, it's four band members. It's not only the two of us having 7 children.
Oh, okay, got it.
Just to mention. Not that busy.
But we've been busy. Still.
When you first started touring, you know, full time, hundreds of days a year, did you find it harder to form lasting relationships, or did your relationships start to fray, start to fall apart? It's like a lot of people, they start to actually have their career take off and then their personal life collapses at the same time.
It is a tough thing for relationships in any phase you're in, I feel. For me personally, honestly, I was just as a young teenager into adulthood, I was running away from something anyway. So right. I had tough times anyway to get close to. But I feel like I broke that cycle and just found the right person to do that.
After talking to the guys in Milky Chance, I had to step back for a second and realize how lucky I was to find a partner in my wife, Taylor, who supports this crazy journey that we're on, making music all around the world. It's not easy, but I think the music is always worth it. Okay, here they are, Milky Chance. Okay, wait a second. This song, Stolen Dance, it's been like this little drop of joy that I can put into my bloodstream whenever I'm feeling low. And I get to talk to them about it. Okay, I'm gonna stop nerding out. Here's Milky Chance.
I want you by my side so that I never feel alone again. They've always been so kind, but now they've brought you away from me. I hope they didn't get your mind. Your heart is too strong. Fetch back the time they have stolen from us.
when you first started laying down, you know, beats and sounds for a song like Stolen Dance, right? You guys were students that had been playing music together. You know, you were in a jazz group. Could you ever imagine that you would be playing Red Rocks and all over the world like this? Was it something that you had as a distant hope, or was it just a total pipe dream? Like, if we could just get people to listen to this one song, we'll go from there.
We didn't even know what Red Rocks is.
Yeah, I was about to say the same thing. When we recorded the first album, and we didn't even know Red Rocks was existing. So, yeah, that came then, you know. And yeah, it was all a big surprise. I mean, yeah, that all happened very quick, but all kind of by accident.
How does a song like Stolen Dance get formed first? Is it the guitar part, the beats, and then your voice? Like, how does it start piece by piece?
I mean, yeah, we do a lot of songwriting with guitars. I mean, that's where we both come from. But also, like, and we tried out a lot of things. And I think that was, like, the most fun part of it, you know? Like, you jump in with a guitar riff, or, like, on the piano, or, like, a bass or a synth. Can, you know, whatever feels good and refreshing. I want you. We can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it. Dance on. Do the boogie all night long. Stoned in paradise. Shouldn't talk about it. I want you. We can bring it on the floor. Never danced like this before. We don't talk about it. Dance on. Do the boogie all night long.
I mean, you could always have the jazz quintet Flown Tones, you know, come back together and open for Milky Chance. Like, would that be super weird?
Yeah, right. I mean, that's what Robbie Williams does. I don't know if that's a name to you, because he's not big in the US. He's big in Europe. And I went to his show, and his opening support is himself with a DJ. Which I found very funny. So no, I like the idea.
I mean, I started listening to you guys by accident. I think you were one of those discoveries on, like, Pandora, something that I normally probably wouldn't be tuned into, you know, this sort of mixture of dance music, folk music, reggae, jazz from two guys in Germany. I'm like, why would I be into this? But I think it's because one of my favorite things is when people take electronic music and marry it with, you know, actual songwriting and guitar playing, real musicianship. You know, nothing against completely digital albums, but as a, you know, folk musician myself, I love bands like Wilco, or as a band called Granddaddy that I love, that can bring both opposing forces together. You know, a lot of times we feel like the digital world and the acoustic world are at war with each other. Like, they can never be on the same stage. And I think you guys have really stuck with that in a beautiful way, you know, throughout your different records. Yeah, the new record, Living in a Haze, is coming out, and it's got some really cool collaborations. A favorite of mine was the track History of Yesterday, featuring Charlotte Cardin, who's from Quebec. Towards the back of this record, there's some really nice kind of love songs, or you could say breakup songs. There's, like, a touch of revenge you can feel in this one, you know. I can't wait to see you cry, trying to figure out, like, was our love, like, a complete joke to you? You know, like, when you break up with someone and you're so hurt that everything is said out loud. It's like that. I don't know if you watch the show Succession on HBO that just finished, but there's this just devastating scene where Tom and Shiv just unload on each other on this balcony about everything that they hate about the other person, you know. And they love each other so much, but they want to cut each other to the heart. Yeah. Tell me a little bit about that History of Yesterday with Charlotte.
Yeah, that was actually really cool that we got together because we were just, we were big fans of hers, and we told her that simply on Instagram how you do it these days, and she responded and
Yeah.
was like, same with you guys, and we were like, okay, that's great. Let's get together then. And that's what we did. She came over to Berlin, and yeah, we had a session, and yeah, actually it was really that history of yesterday. That simple kind of expression that we started off because we just felt it was a strong kind of, I don't know, sometimes it starts with like little things, either phonetically or like they just kind of like open up a huge or a big part of ideas. And it was that one. And then yeah, we kind of like, got into the flow of like speaking about what you just said, like when breakups can also get kind of dirty and frustrating, and you kind of like need to unload that because yeah, we've been there, we all been there. We just really felt it.
Free falling, and I'm still falling back to you, but I never wanted to. I hope you had a real good time, making me lose my mind. Are you saying that we're history of yesterday? Now you tell all your friends it was bad anyway. Why don't you just tell them it was all just a joke? It was never.
That one sequence is pretty devastating when you said, do you think you're so special because you're living in pain and there's a reason why everyone you touch goes insane?
No, for sure. I mean, I can really remember in the session where we like kind of the same thing, like when we came up with those lines, we were like laughing about the evilness in it, but kind of like also because we kind of like were like remembering like, yeah, sometimes it can really be so like when you're like little kids being like, ah, I hate you.
Yeah, and you told your friends it was all bad anyway. It's like this entire removal of sentiment. Like we loved each other and now we're trying to destroy each other, And that's
Exactly.
the
It
worst
got
feeling at the
toxic.
end. It's the worst feeling at the end where everyone else is talking about it behind your back.
Also, like I really like that line when like now you go and tell your friends it was nothing anyway, like
Right.
when like during the relationship, it's obviously you carry the heart on your tongue and everything, you picture all these beautiful things, and then when the breakup comes, you can't like tell other people like, oh yeah, that was nothing. We didn't really love each other anyway. Like that's also a very classic thing that happens, I feel.
I
Totally.
mean, like the more you open up to someone, and you can really hurt each other, and I think it's also part of the game.
To maintain any relationship, it doesn't help to be gone for a while.
Hi, this is Henry Kay, host of the number one music history podcast, Rootsland. Come with me on a journey to Kingston, Jamaica, where we explore the world of reggae music and the untold stories of some of the genre's greatest legends. From the ghettos and tenement yards where the music was born, to the island's iconic recording studios. We are so excited to team up with Osiris Media, the leading storyteller in music, because as you'll hear, sometimes the story is the best song.
Hello out there!
Yes, hello out there, everyone. I'm Hal Schwartz.
And I'm Flynn McClain. Together, we host None But the Brave, a podcast dedicated to the music and career of Bruce Springsteen.
Bruce and E Street Band are on tour right now for the first time in 6 years, and we're taking a detailed look at what's happening on stage in our bi-weekly episodes.
We've also been recently joined by some very exciting guests, including rock journalist Warren Zanes and Stephen Hyden, Backstreet's Magazine founder Charles Cross, and Barstool's Kirk Menahan.
If you're a diehard Springsteen fan, this is the show for you.
So please subscribe to Nothing But the Brave on your favorite podcasting platform, and we hope to see you further on up the road.
Thank you so much! We'll be seeing you!
The title track of the new record, Living in a Haze, I think definitely points towards this dance music as sort of this escape hatch, this like springboard to freedom, which I think is really beautiful. You know, the idea, I think one of you mentioned that there's this phrase in German that like you can find that place where you don't give up. The beats that you have on this are very heavy, you know, and you can go back to that line. It's like, I should be dancing the night away, right? Mm-hmm. But it's not saying I am dancing. It's like you're yearning for that moment where you are free and you're not chained down by the realities of life, of fatherhood, of relationships, of money, of the pressures to create. You know, when you guys get to a point like you where you've had billions of listens from people around the world, you have obligations to a lot of people, right? You have to make sure people show up at Red Rocks or you're not going to go back to Red Rocks, you know? And it's almost like that music, that beat is the button you can press to have it all go away, that it's just the music. Is that sort of a philosophy that this record is guided by?
I mean, that song for sure. I think the album shows even more like layers of us as musicians and personalities, right? But this song, I mean, that was a beautiful wrap up of that song.
That we picked that as a title track because we kind of felt, though, what you were saying, I guess, what counts for the whole album is that music in general is, as you said, a force to like move physically but also mentally, because you always need to, you know, keep moving. And as long as like it keeps you going somewhere and like not gets you stuck, and yeah, like it's just a force of like towards positivity and progress and process, and I think that's what it kind of stands for.
I'm gonna wear my favorite color tonight, oh my. I'm gonna shake it like the thunder tonight, oh my. I wish I was a disco boy, moving like I'm paranoid, paranoid. I wish I was a disco boy, disco boy. I should be dancing.
What is a disco boy specifically? Is it like the guy who's on the dance floor that is just totally in it, like totally feeling it? Like, is there a certain German phrase that like makes someone a disco boy?
I feel like it can be what you said. Like, that's why I used that expression, one of like the Steh auf Männchen, which to me, like a disco boy can be like someone actually being in the disco, dancing the shit out of himself. Yeah. But it could also be just someone on the streets dancing, or it could be a kid in his living room, you know, like it could be, it could be anything that like, when you like get in the moment of like shaking it off, like whatever bothers you, whatever drags you down, and you get to like be in the state of like, whatever, I'm going to move. And sometimes you're not actually there, but you wish you would be, which is like, I guess also part of being a disco boy, like having the urge, but not being able to in the moment.
When you guys are on stage in a particularly perfect environment, right? Let's just say the crowd is dancing with you. Do you feel like you go into a flow state? Like you're almost not in your bodies, like you are the music? Is there a point where you merge with the music?
Yeah.
It sounds very, very much cheesy, but I love it.
No, I mean but it really is like that. Yeah, I mean, that is, I would say that would be like the perfect stage moment, you know. Of course it is not like that all the time, but I would say if we have that feeling at least once within the show, that's good, you know, when you're totally just like, when you're just like really in it and like yeah, there's nothing else. Just that, like really being in that moment.
Well, it's like great. it's like falling in love every night in a way, right? That high, and you kind of have this exactly. great part in that song Purple Tiger, you know, where you're like, take me to your dreamland. When you create a different universe, you know, at a Milky Chance show, it's like it allows people to forget everything in a way and just go into that, you know, that dreamland kissed by the sun, as you said in that song.
It is really, I think, special because I guess we all know when we like listen to it, or like when you listen to it, like your show and you dance and you're in that moment. But I feel like it's even especially like being four people as a band, and we are up there and we are doing our craft, and that craft becomes a vehicle to set that power free, what you're saying, that right. everybody can, you know, it feels very powerful. It feels very powerful to be a part of that creation that is setting that free, you know. It's crazy. I mean, obviously it's a craft, so like you play an instrument, you're technically able to do what you're doing. But then like there's this like last 5% or whatever percentage you want to give it, that you can't really tell what it is that makes
right
to unlock this like door to what you're saying, to like freedom, to like let's all enter there and like be one with the music. You know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
Going back to the Sad Necessary album one more time, you know, Flash Junk Mind is one of my favorite tracks of yours. And I guess you do mention that the Red Hot Chili Peppers are an influence. But the idea of, you know, when we were young, we felt like this.
Like, that's a really cool thing about a song. It becomes really its own, and it can tell you, even though you were the one kind of like bringing it to life, it can tell you a lot 10 years later still,
yeah.
Or it can still basically like, yeah, it has its sort of own life. What's your fear? Just when you were calling a love that I. I almost feel sometimes like years later, we or you have a better idea of what bigger than your intention maybe that you had when you were writing it. Also because yeah. we're more writing about like it's more about intuition and like moods and feelings, less mm-hmm. like particular things or like concepts. So it's kind of like feels crazy when like, yeah, like that song, for example, 10 years later, feels like it speaks to you on a clearer, it tells you something that you haven't even thought of back then, which is crazy.
Where do you see yourselves 20 years from now? Like, what would be your dream scenario?
2050, right? No, 2040.
If the world still exists as we know it.
Yeah, I mean, you can think
where
about
would we see each other?
In a very scary way also. I think like if we, you know, if we can keep music as one of our main things to do, that would be nice. Still having fun with it, still creating.
20 more kids, 10 more albums.
Yeah.
Like if there was a dream tour with any two stars that you could be on the road with, each of you have to pick one, who would it be?
Like a tour together with like another artist?
Milky Chance and Bruce Springsteen and Sting. I don't know, something crazy. What would it be?
Something crazy.
I mean,
what would we choose?
Life to me, like Stromae was like one of the best experiences. So like pairing up with him would be a dream.
Why not?
Stromae is cool. And then
maybe something like exotic. I would love to have some hip hop vibes, like I don't know, Tyler or Chance.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, like more like a good mixture would be nice.
I'd love to see you guys do some more stuff with Fatoumata Diawara, I think is her name. She's from Mali.
Flicker
in the Dark. That was a really cool collaboration. How did that come together?
Same thing. We just reached out to her Instagram, just telling her that we admire her and that we would love to get together and do something. And she was like, yeah, let's do it. So, easy as that. I mean, luckily, easy as that. And yeah, that was really cool. Very inspiring. Inspiring voice singing in her mother tongue. Also gives it a very special color. Yeah, also great instrumentalist. Just telling by her voice messages that we got from her during the creative process, you can tell that she's a very special and humble and sweet person.
Well, that line, you know, the doors that we're going to walk through, you know, in that song, it reminds me of how these songs, especially with artists that I've never heard of, maybe can be like portals, right? I went down the rabbit hole of her music after I saw her on this track. And I love music from Mali, especially. No matter how smart you are about knowing all the current artists and all the people who are rising in different countries, there's just an endless amount of artists that need that light shined on them. And it's like this refrain of this song, you know, I'm going to shine that light on you. And it's like this conversation you guys are having across the sea with each other, which is really, really beautiful. Have you guys toured in Africa at all?
Only South, like South Africa.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's it so far, but we would love to do more, especially also north and west. I would love that.
What is the most insane travel week that you've ever had? I mean, you guys obviously go internationally all the time, but has there ever been that day where you're like, I don't know if I can physically do this today?
Oh, heck yeah. I mean, on tour already, we were noticing today that we're going to play 8 shows in a row by now. And then, you know, things come in and out, like, I don't know, a bus breaks down and you have to take the train. And, or like, I remember we also had like in the US, like on the last, like a couple years ago, we were in New York. We flew to Atlanta. We've played a festival and we flew to the West Coast and played a late night, like event there. So like right. In one day, we crossed the country and played 2 shows, which messes with your head a little bit.
Yeah.
And your body for sure.
Yep.
So yeah, it's sometimes, you know, the travel can be very intense on tour. And for sure, it's the biggest challenge to stay mentally and physically like healthy.
There was another interesting collaboration you did with Ladysmith Black Mambazo, Eden's House, which is on the 2019 record Mind the Moon. I would love to see that in person. I'm not sure if it ever happened live, but
what?
Have you guys ever had a choir behind you at shows?
We just started with like having back singers for like a TV show in Germany, which was exciting. Yeah. But we sang in a choir when we were in high school. So singing with or in a choir is definitely something very home for us and very familiar. So for sure, we were talking about it also with Ladysmith Black Mambazo. Whenever we're going to go back to South Africa, we 100% going to try to get together and do it live.
Where I wanna go on the run to Eden's house, didn't know you can always run away from that feeling. No one ever makes you stay when your heart is bleeding, oh, it's bleeding.
For sure, there's nothing more. I mean, on the record, it's beautiful, and I love how it turned out. But there's nothing about the power and, like, when you're, like, in the room or, like, you hear those voices in person. It's kind of the same with the moon or something, and you try to take a picture of it.
Yeah.
It will never...
Yeah.
Catch the actual beauty. You know what I'm
yeah.
You know what I'm saying.
Where I wanna go on the run to Eden's house. Didn't know you can always run away. When your heart is bleeding, oh, it's bleeding.
What did your parents do when you were growing up? Did you come from any musical families yourselves, or was it sort of a total departure?
Yeah, not a total departure. I mean, some sort. I mean, Clement's parents, like, had good music taste. I mean, my parents, my mom did, my dad did not. Mine are, like, coming from, you know, doctor, and my mom is a nurse, and Clement's father was a gardener, or is a gardener, and his mom is a, how do you call it in English?
Like, IT programming stuff.
So,
I mean, we were the only ones doing really doing music in our families, you can say. But yeah,
I mean, my mom played the guitar, and she wanted to, actually, but she wasn't given the opportunity when she was young. You know, she comes from the times where, like, I want to do music.
Yeah.
And parents are like, no, do something.
So she gave you the opportunity. That's
right. She broke the circle. I'm forever thankful for that.
Did your high school classmates or teachers ever come to your shows and be like, I can't believe these guys are actually doing this? Like, because it's like, you know, when you play a band in high school, right? I mean, I was in a punk band, you know, in Chicago. You know, you're playing bars, you're playing the talent show. It's like this little moment in time where, like, oh yeah, eventually you'll do something serious with your life, you know. you'll stop that kind of silliness, and then some of us just keep going, and then some people, it resonates with a whole lot of people, which is really beautiful. Do you see folks from your past at your shows? Is it kind of a funny situation?
For sure.
Yeah,
teachers, friends, family, you know, it's very beautiful most of the time. I think like 95%, it's nice encounters and people are very sweet and, like, it's lovely to share old memories.
Right.
There was just one teacher who gave me a shit for like, because she was like, I guess she was kind of frustrated about not having an actual career as a musician. And then she was a music teacher and she taught me music. And she was thinking, she was actually thinking that she taught me songwriting, because she like kind of like, we didn't really even do it in the in the music class there. But like literally years after, she comes up to me in a club in like our hometown while we're partying, and she's telling me, "You're such a motherfucker to not mention me in interviews for like being the teacher who taught you songwriting." And I'm like, "Wow, this is fucked."
Yep.
So
that like jealousy and like anger speaking out of her, probably.
Is there a show on this tour that you're most looking forward to? Obviously Red Rocks coming up, but is there a show that you are really excited for most?
I'm really looking forward to play Santa Barbara Bowl.
Yeah.
I love Santa Barbara because I also spent a lot of time there, but it's a great venue. I've seen really nice shows there. And yeah. I mean, we just played the Pier 17 in New York, which was amazing, really. I didn't know about the venue, but it's such a sick venue with the greatest view. And really, it's the whole tour. It's so nice to be out here in summer, playing all this like outside shows, having this summer vibes, and it's a beautiful time and great venues.
Now, this is going to be a question that I'll finish with, because I know you guys are busy, and I really appreciate you jumping on here. For those of us who are playing less glorious venues, can you remember the most awkward, horrifying, terrible show where you wondered if you should actually continue making music?
I remember, I mean, there's been some awkward shows for sure. I don't think we remember all of them, but I remember one show that felt pretty awkward, actually, was actually last year on a European tour. But then we had one show in, I think it was
Don't
Belgium.
Say where, Clemens.
Ah, oh, come on.
Where was it?
I know what you're talking about. It was in Luxembourg.
Oh, yeah, Luxembourg.
Classic.
Yeah, that was a little, that felt a little weird.
I mean, that's just like funny, because when you like get into a pub and everybody's still smashed and you like have to play. But I like that kind of awkwardness. Yeah. But once there was like really, we played like a, I don't know where it was, but like some sort of like day summer festival thing. And people were smashed, but like not in a very like, let's say, comfortable way.
Right.
And they started throwing shit at us. Like, but actual like metal statues, and they threw them pretty hard, and I got one in my stomach, and one like flew by Antonio's face, so if he would have hit the face, that would have actually been really shit. So that really felt like, okay, this is fucked. And I was like, I was up there thinking,
where was
like,
this,
I don't want to really play when like that shit is happening.
Yeah, it's dangerous.
I honestly don't remember where it was. Because I would not have a problem to blame that shit. But I literally don't remember. I just remember it was somewhere in the US. But yeah, that's something that is not feeling good when you like really just want to have a good time and share music. And then drunk or not, like, you know, like when it becomes like violent, that's just, that doesn't have space as well.
I love the music that you guys create, and I think it's unique. It's really again something that I wouldn't normally be super into, and I've just been kind of a big fan from the beginning. And you know,
thank you.
Every new thing that comes out is I get excited when I see it, you know. So
that's great.
Nice.
Is there one song on the record that you're most proud of that you'd like to share to take us out?
That's the toughest question.
All right, let's frame it this way. Let's say that Germany, the United States, Russia, let's say they all come together and they're like, hey, we want Milky Chance to play the first ever show on the International Space Station.
All right.
What's the song that you're opening with in space?
I would take Purple
play,
Time because it has
Frequency of Love.
Oh yeah,
oh, yeah,
Frequency
that's
of
actually
Love.
It's a nice
awesome.
One. Let's do that because that really, I can see you. Like,
there's a little moon reference
being
as well.
In a gravity space.
Yeah.
where
I feel like we could really like all not. Just like, you know, like fly around while singing that song. That would be kind of funny.
It almost sounds like that song has accordion. I think it's probably synthesizer, but it sounds almost like this this accordion around a campfire sound, which I really love.
Yeah.
That's cool.
It was your eyes that taught me how to see. It was the feeling of being free. Just like playing music on the moon. Mm-hmm. All right, boys. Well, thanks so much. Exactly. Have a great tour. Don't lose your voice. I know it's hard.
Thank you. Thanks for having us. Appreciate it. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Keep it up.
And yeah, maybe we see each other at Santa Barbara.
Yeah, I'll try to. I definitely want to see if I can come out to Santa Barbara. All right, guys. Later.
Sweet.
Sounds good, man.
Thank you, man.
Thank you.
It was the feeling of being free. Coming back no matter where you
are. Off they go. Big thanks to Milky Chance, that's Clemens and Philip. They got on the line from their tour bus, and I was very grateful to talk to them. Been a big fan for a long time. MilkyChance.net is the website, and Living in a Haze is that beautiful new record. I was just coming out of my haze from a European tour. Sorry we didn't have a new episode last week. But you might have heard that the lead singer of Smash Mouth, he passed away this week, and we had two episodes talking about the history of Smash Mouth that just came out. Please check that if you can. And as always, we are written, produced, and edited by yours truly, Z Lupitan, on the Osiris Network. We'll see you soon.
Hey, music fans! We wanted to let you know about Music on the Mountain, a show that will feature Anders Osborne, Dogs in a Pile, and Saints and Liars. This show will be directly after the Divided Sky Foundation's Fun Run at 2 p.m. on Saturday, May 18th, at the base of Akemo Mountain in Ludlow, Vermont. The show is presented by The Phoenix, a national nonprofit organization offering support to those in recovery and anyone impacted by substance use to celebrate recovery. If you're running in the Divided Sky Foundation's Fund Run, you'll be automatically registered for the show. It's a family-friendly event, and all proceeds from ticket sales and other donations benefit the Divided Sky Foundation. Visit Music on the Mountain, that's musiconthemtn.com, for more info and to get tickets. That's musiconthemtn.com. Hope you enjoy.